Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
All right, here we go. Booth. Check. Microphone. Check. Talent. Check. Write it down. Episode 134. 1-3-4-9-er. That doesn't work, does it? No. Just put one. Mark it down. 1-3-4. And what do we got here? Yes, three S's. Star. Smile. Strong. All right. Here we go. 3-2-1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Right here at WGNplus.com. Every Monday, a new episode is posted for your podcasting pleasure. Welcome. And don't forget, I have a landing page. Yeah. That's where you can hear all previous Elton Jim podcasts here at WGNplus.com. Just go to the prompt that says entertainment on the website and then hit Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. And there you will find all previous 133 episodes, which means that this is episode 134. Yes, I am back, and thank you for being back, and thank you for clicking, scrolling, swiping, whatever it is you do to find us on a regular basis. Your podcasting attention is much appreciated. So, what do we want to talk about today? Well, I just recently returned from a very enjoyable and exciting and informative trip to, I guess you would say, I don't know, Eastern Europe? I guess, right? We took a river cruise, my wife and I, Elton Jamie. We started in Nuremberg, Germany, and followed the Danube. We sailed on the Danube through Germany, Austria, and wound up in Hungary. So sort of the, well, not sort of, actually, the seat, in many cases, of the Nazi strongholds in World War II. And while we were in some of the major cities, including Nuremberg, where obviously, if you know anything about World War II, Nuremberg was where the trials were held after World War II for whatever Nazis they were able to initially find. And they were sentenced in a world tribunal for their war crimes. And we did visit the actual room where those war trials took place. It was a very informative, exciting trip. You're on the Blue Danube, if anybody knows Johann Strauss Jr., you know that song, one of his most beautiful waltzes. But yeah, we saw some amazing cities, including Munich, Germany, and as I said, Nuremberg, and Salzburg, and Vienna, Austria. And we ended in Budapest. Yes, I said it correctly. It is not Pest. It is spelled Pest. But if you want to say it the way the Hungarians say it, hello, darling. One of the most famous Hungarians, of course, was Zsa and Eva Gabor. New York is where I'd rather stay. I get allergic smelling hay. Yeah, that was Eva Gabor, and of course, Zsa Gabor. Now, I am totally dating myself because there are people that do not know who the Gabor sisters were. They were more famous for being famous. They would have been perfect in today's generation. In today's world, there are so many people today that are famous for being famous. There were only a handful 30, 40 years ago, and no one knew how they got famous or not, but they did. They somehow nudged their way into the celebrity world, and there were a few of them. The Gabor sisters, even though Ava Gabor did star on Green Acres, that's the song I sang, with Eddie Albert, a popular television show. But Zsa Zsa Gabor, her sister, who was a much more flamboyant of the two, supposedly was an actress, but a B-movie actress at best, and became more known for an extravagant lifestyle, being married multiple times, I think at least eight, being one of the first celebrities to get, not only get, but publicly admit that she had a facelift. That was a big deal. There were a few of these kind of, now they're all over the place. I mean, there's YouTube and internet influencers and stars all over the place who are making a living, apparently, more power to them, but they're out there. There's only not a small group, I guess, but maybe an influential group that follow them, and they've been able to make a fairly good living. I wish I knew how to do it. I'd be doing it. But yeah, back 30, 40, 50 years ago, there were these people that were just famous for being famous. There was Charo. Hello. Grrr, Kuchiku. They all of them seem to be foreign people, by the way. The more I think about it, I don't know why. Maybe at that time, the American culture was just fascinated with people of foreign origin. Now, today, the United States is very diverse and embracing all the different races and cultures in our society. But back then, they were an oddity, at least in the mainstream. And so maybe that's why some of these people became famous for being famous. But there was a whole group of those people, and the Gabor sisters from Hungary were certainly one of those. And I get back to my original point, because if you talked to Zsa Zsa or to Ava Gabor, and you can just Google them, they would have said Budapest. It is Pest, not Pest, but Pest. And I will always say it that way because that's the way the locals say it. And that's the way it should be said. We've Americanized it, and that's not right. So Budapest. So there, impress your friends this holiday season when you get together. Impress your friends and family by saying, ah, Budapest. And what was also, I had no idea until I started to do some research before our trip on Budapest, was that Budapest is not really one city. I mean, it is and it isn't. It's one city comprised of two mini-cities or districts, perhaps? Or two cities, I guess. Two cities, you know, crunched into one. But there is a city of Buda. And then across the Danube, there is a city of Pest. And together, they become Budapest. So they are one city, but it's almost like the boroughs in New York. They are individual and yet connected. And they are connected by some of the most beautiful bridges you'd ever want to see in your life. The Margaret Bridge is a major beautiful bridge. The Chain Bridge. The Elizabeth Bridge. The Liberty Bridge. There's enough bridges. There's certainly enough ways to get across the Danube from Buda to Pest or vice versa. And what's also very interesting about Budapest, if you don't know much about it, and you know we don't know here in America, you know, all the Soviet countries that were formerly in the Soviet Union, there was such an informational blackout that you know for 50 years we didn't know anything about these countries except their names and that they were part of the Soviet Union. Places like Prague as well in the Czech Republic and Budapest and so many others that were on, you know, East Berlin and West Berlin with the wall. There were so many of these European countries that They just were not on our radar screen. We did not pay attention to them because they were part of the red enemy. And now that the wall came down in 1989, we are discovering the history of these countries, the beauty of these countries, and the culture of these countries. And it's almost like finding new countries, even though these countries have been around for centuries. And at many times in their history, they were the leaders in the world. And it's amazing what the communist rule did, at least here in America, for our general knowledge about many of these cities. You know, we couldn't visit there, so we didn't really have much to report back. And as I said, they were, you know, members of the Soviet Union. But my gosh, what a jewel of a city Budapest is. And its parliament, its parliament you have definitely seen photos of. And it is becoming a huge tourist country. And so hopefully if you do plan on going to Europe, you will put Budapest on your itinerary somewhere down the road, because it really is a beautiful city and a fun city to hang out in a couple of days. It's definitely a walking city. Everything's close, and there's history everywhere you turn around. At night, the parliament building is, I don't even know how to explain it. It's gorgeous. It's breathtaking. It really is. If you go to my Facebook page, I have some pictures up that I took of Budapest and some of the sites that I'm talking about. And of course, at this time of the year, there were many Christmas markets. So it was really a great time to go. The weather was nice. And so we had a great time. And I mentioned this not only as part of my ongoing Toronto's Travels segment of the podcast. I love to travel. I got that from my parents. From an early age, my mom and dad took me on vacations. And not just to Wisconsin. You know, we went to a few more exotic places and even on cruises and into Europe and things like that. And it really got, you know, it instilled in me the a wanderlust, if you will, and a thirst and an appetite to travel, to go to other places, to see different things, to see different peoples, and to experience different cultures. And it's only grown, you know, with me as time has gone on. And I just really enjoy traveling. That's my vice, if you will. And my wife and I really enjoy, you know, hopping on a plane when we can and going to somewhere cool. So definitely I would choose, you know, this is the second Viking. We went on Viking, and I'm not getting anything. No plugs here, just I'm telling you, I had a really good time. You see those Viking River cruises on television, and I have to say that they definitely deliver what's advertised. And we had a great time last year going up the Rhine River, and this year up the Danube, up and down. Well, I don't know if we went down or up or across it. But I mention this because when you go on a vacation, you always try to come back with something. And what we mostly do now, as I said in the last podcast, number 133, I have a Santa addiction. And wouldn't you know it, I relapsed on our trip, gang. Didn't go crazy. But we do try to, when we go to a foreign country, we do try to get a Christmas tree ornament from that country to put on our tree to remind us of our latest trips. And then as years go by, you say, oh, that's right. Remember when we went here? Remember when we went there? So that's kind of what we do. We don't buy a lot of things when we go. I never buy duty, no pun intended. I've never gone to the duty-free shop. I don't know what duty is. I don't know why people do duty. I don't do duty. Some people do duty. I don't do duty. I do duty. I'm anti-duty. I don't do duty-free at all. So I don't even know what that means. But we do. We don't buy much. We don't come back with a lot of schlock, as I've told you before too. I'm in a very strict decluttering mode here. Don't want to add too much, but when I do indulge, it is around Christmas time, and specifically, as I said in the last podcast, it's about Santas. I love Santa. It's Santa! So, wouldn't you know it, we came back with a couple of Santas. Not one from every city, but one from at least every country. But my new favorite, well, I shouldn't say my new favorite Santa, but it certainly is going to be a favorite Santa this year for Christmas time 2018. So we were very good. As I said, you know, my wife, I'm sure, would love to go shopping more if she were not with me. I am not a shopper. I am not a shopper. I think I've talked about this in the past. I mean, I will, you know, when I go to the store, I have a list. And when I go directly to those items and I pick them out and put them in the cart and I'm gone. I am not a browser. I am not a shopper. I go and get what I need and then I leave. And so when we go on a trip, you know, I have a list of things that we have to see. I sit there with the map of the city. And I have a list of sites and you know, places that we need to see or we should want to see. And I list those, and then I sit down and I map out our trip on a day-to-day basis as what is in what's part of the city do we go to, and that's where these are all in a group, and that's where these are all in a group, or here's a nice way. Yes, it's very anal, and I'm sure it's way too overplanned, but you know what? We rarely miss anything. Because of that. And that may, and so that I take heart in that. I mean, other people say, you know what? And that's great. I wish I could do that. I don't have the capability of just winging it. I just don't have the capability of doing that. It's not in my DNA. And I do admire those who just say, I got a couple of friends we just recently traveled with, and they're you know what? They've got a few little things, but let's see what we find. And I enjoy doing that with them, but I could never do that on my own. I need lists. I told you before about my lists. So we did very well, though. Among all these different stops and all these major cities, we did not buy a lot of stuff. My wife knows the way I am. We went to a lot of Christmas markets. A lot of them have the same things. Christmas markets are fun. They're beautiful. A lot of great food and a lot of, you know, things you can buy. But to me, a lot of it is just kind of, it's almost like a flea market. It's kind of, I mean, it's not that low grade, but, you know, it's just kind of like, you know, candles and gloves. And once again, I'm not a shopper. I just get what I need. So thankfully, my wife doesn't give me a hard time about she needs to shop. And every so often, I let her, you know, not let her, but I mean, when we're out, I will sit down and say, hey, go ahead for, you know. So she goes off, and if there's something she really wants to see. But I'll tell you, when we're on a trip, we are on a mission. The key is to get check marks on places and sites to have seen. And most of those do not include stores. But we do enjoy the Christmas markets. In fact, as I said, the last couple of years, we have gone to Europe specifically for the Christmas markets. That's what we also did last year. We were there actually on Christmas and in the week before Christmas. And so we saw a lot of European Christmas markets in the cities that we stopped in. And we did again this year. And they're just fun to visit. And they really get you in the holiday spirit. So I am fully... Christmasized right now. Last year we were in Europe in Copenhagen on Christmas Eve, which was cool. We went a little earlier this year, but it helped to get us in the Christmas mood. We went the day after Thanksgiving and came back about 9 or 10 days later. So it was a nice kickstart. And I can reveal now that because I knew we would be gone and we would be returning in early December, we came back on December 4th, so I knew we'd already be in December by the time we came home. I put my Christmas stuff up on November 17th, that weekend. So we've had Christmas stuff up for almost a month already. But it was so nice when we came home from, you know, the jet lag, long flight, 7-hour difference, and just completely, you know, jet lagged. And it was so cool, A, to come home to a Christmas-sized house, and B, the thought of not having to put that Christmas stuff up after still getting the body back on a normal, I guess, our normal time. Because I said, you know, we had 7 hours ahead on that whole trip, and it was about a 9 or 10 hour flight, so there's major, major jet lag. Still feeling it to some extent. So we did well. We did not come back with millions of gifts, you know, and that's the other thing too, you know, well, did you buy stuff for other people? And I always, you know, unless there's something really unique, I mean, you know, does someone need some schlocky thing from another country too? I don't know. I've gotten gifts from people when they've gone on vacations. I don't know where they're at right now. It's not a bit, it's actually, I'm not thinking about it. I'm going to look around my house and see if there's anything that somebody bought me when they went on a trip that I have displayed somewhere. I wonder. I mean, it's nice to be thought of, no question. But then what do you do with that gift? Do you keep it? I don't know. I'm trying to think. I wonder if a lot of those made it through my decluttering the last couple of years. I don't know. I think a lot of those... those gifts that may, that, you know, little trinkets and things that me and people have bought from different vacations they've gone on and given to me, I don't know. I don't remember getting any in recent years, but I'm sure I got some along the way. But anyway, we've bought some for my mother-in-law and my mom and dad when they were alive, you know, and maybe for some close friends, but we've stopped doing that. I don't know. It's a pain, first of all, to bring all that stuff back, too. You're worried about getting broken and blah, blah, blah. But anyway, we did very well, except I had to feed my Santa addiction. I mean, this thing is real, as I talked last podcast. This is real. But I was good, because there was a lot of schlocky Santa stuff in many of these Christmas markets or these stores. And stuff that, you know, I mean, if, you know, in my view, you know, if you're going to do Santa, you got to do it right. And some stores and some manufacturers just think that, well, you know, you make something with a red, you know, with a red hat and a white beard, and it's low quality, and people will buy it. And maybe they will, but not this Santa addict. I got to find something that is of nice quality, unique, and just stops me in my tracks. And so, as we went through the trip, starting in Nuremberg, Germany, and as I said, going through other cities in Germany and in Austria, including Vienna, which is a beautiful city, amazing stores, some great Christmas markets, but still nothing really caught my fancy or my wife's fancy until we got to, hello, darling, Budapest. And there, lo and behold, and this was the last stop on our trip, and we were going to go home the next day. And we even mentioned how, wow, you know, we haven't bought anything. We haven't bought any kind of memory, no ornament, no anything. We got to get something, but not for the sake of getting it. Got to get something we really like. That's the other thing. People buy stuff for the sake of it, and then they throw it away or they don't even pay attention to it. So why bother? But in the backs of our minds, it was like, well, we had to come back with something, right? And lo and behold, at the main Christmas market in Budapest, on our first full day of exploring the city, and we were just about, that's the irony of this, we were just about to leave, and we're going to come back later, but we're going to leave and to go to another part of the city. As we were walking out of the Christmas market, there was this one shed, this one Christmas market stand, that had the coolest things. They were these incense burners. Now, I should say that the reason that this is ironic is that earlier in the trip, and for whatever reason, I can't remember why, but earlier in the trip, I mentioned to my wife about incense. We were just talking about incense and why. And I have to really think hard. It's driving me crazy as to why. Neither of us can remember why we were talking about incense. But about two or three days before this, somewhere on the trip, definitely, we were talking about incense. And I was saying how, you know, as you know, I am, you know, the Sultan of Scents. S-C-E-N-T-S. I'm not too sure about S-E-N-C-E, but S-C-E-N-T-S, I am the Sultan. And if you know me at all, you know my favorite air freshener scent, of course, is Glade's Cashmere Woods. I've also, I think, talked about my favorite cologne, which was by Graham Webb called Montage, which I can't find anymore. It's not made anymore. But I loved that scent. And I'm still trying to find a new scent, to be honest with you. I haven't found one. My wife went online, and there's a place that actually will recreate popular scents. You tell them the scent, and they will somehow, they get it, and they maybe break it down chemically. So she actually, I don't know if it was my birthday last year, she got me some recreated Montage. And it was close, but it wasn't Montage. It was close. And I wear it, but it wasn't my Montage. I loved that scent, that cologne by Graham Webb. I don't know why they stopped making it. You go online. It costs $90 if anybody has a bottle from 20 years ago. It's like gold. So I'm not sure what happened, but there's still people out there that like it, obviously. So I love scents. And I don't know, now that I'm thinking about this, if this goes back to, as I've said many times, about when you grow up, it's amazing what is imprinted on us in our early life. It is when you go back and you say, well, and it always traces back when you're a little kid. At least for me, it does. And I remember my dad in the mid 70s, when I was a little kid. And my dad, you would not think he was into this, but he used to burn incense in our house, these little sticks. And I was very surprised. And he would burn them for, he did this for a good two or three years. I remember growing up, he would burn these little incense. And my dad was a meat and potatoes guy. You would never think that he would have been into incense. But I don't know. You know, he also went to Japan in World War II. So maybe that's where he got it. Maybe that's, you know, there was incense in places. I don't know. I never really asked him later on in life. I should have. Or maybe he just liked the smell. I don't know. But if there's one thing that I think he's passed on to me, it's he used to wear cologne, you know, as well. So maybe I got that from him, from his, you know, from being around. But I remember him burning incense. I never did, but I also burned candles. I love the smell of candles. Once again, Sultan of Scent. So I've got many candles, and I burn them for the nice smell. So I guess I picked that up from my dad without even really realizing it. But candles are one thing. Incense is, I think, it's another level of, there's a whole, you know, there's a whole connotation with incense. You know, like, oh, you're some, you know, hippy-dippy new ager or something like that. But yeah, my dad burned incense. He had this little square thing, and he had the little stick, and didn't do it. Mostly did it on the weekends, it seemed. And my mom wasn't crazy about it, I remember. But my dad, he wouldn't do it, you know, every day, but every so often, enough for me to have remembered it. And somehow we were talking about incense, and I was saying how I liked it. My wife said, "Well, I'm not really big into incense." And I said, "Oh, I love incense." And I think I got it not only from my dad, But I think where I also may have gotten the idea of it and liking the smell was I was an altar boy in Catholic school. And for many high masses, for many special masses, as well as at funerals, they would burn incense during the mass and sort of put it, shake it. There was this little container that the priest used to shake on a chain. He would burn the incense and it would really smell. Sometimes it would be going crazy. They would really be going crazy with the incense. There's all different, as we know, I'm sure you know, there's all different kind of scents and flavors, if you will, of incense. And the one that they used, at least when I was an altar boy, was very distinct. And once again, I liked it. Now, I don't know if I liked it because I was smelling it in my own house, too. It may have been a different scent, per se, but that whole idea of a smell, of a burning smell, I kind of liked. So I think between my dad burning it at home and the priests using it in the mass, I was hooked. Now, I have not used incense in our home since we've been married or whenever. My wife is not big on it, and I've never, you know, as I said, it's taken on these other connotations of, you know, being hippy-dippy and all that. So I have not really burned incense on a regular basis. But I was talking about it to my wife, and I said, oh, I love incense, which, of course, I don't love it, but I don't hate it. And in the back of my mind, I was saying to myself, well, maybe it would be cool to maybe start burning some incense, because I do burn candles, and maybe it would be cool to burn incense, too. But I never, I was going to maybe surprise my wife by going out and finding some incense, you know, but it wasn't on my to-do list for sure. And we talked about it, as I said, I'm not even sure why. Maybe there was some incense at one of the Christmas markets early on in the trip. I don't know. But when we get to Budapest and we're just about to leave the Christmas market, we get upon this stand, and they had the coolest little, incense burners, I guess you'd call it. But they were ceramic, and they were like men with pipes and dragons, and you put the incense in them, underneath them. You cover the incense. And then, like, for the dragon, for example, had these two giant holes where the nose is. And so when the incense would burn, the smoke came out of the dragon's nose, like it should, right? Then there were these little men that would have, like, raincoats on or something, looked like Hungarian men from the area wearing Hungarian, costumes or something. And they had a little pipe in their mouths, and their mouths were wide open. They were in an O shape. And once again, you put the incense on the little tray. You put this character with the hole in the mouth over it, and naturally, the smoke has to come out of the mouth. And so he's got a little pipe sticking out of his mouth too, so it looks like he's smoking. And meanwhile, there's the incense. And so, of course, for Christmas, who else do you think was smoking a pipe? Jolly old Saint Nick, of course. So they had these really cool Santas with the hole and the pipe to burn the incense. And between just talking about incense 2 or 3 days ago and having in the back of my mind that maybe I would look for some incense and burn some as a joke and see how my wife liked it when we got home, suddenly here it was. But it was presented in the coolest way, and, you know, with these little figures blowing out of their mouths. But then the added bonus, Santa. And we haven't bought a Santa yet on our trip. All the stars aligning once again. I mean, it was crazy because, I mean, I said, do you believe that there's this incense? And we both reacted to it. It wasn't just me. So now they had 3 or 4 Santas, and we're like, well, now we've got to get one of these. And they're made of ceramic, so, you know, we were worried about them breaking, but they said that they would, you know, pack them well. So now we're looking at them, and they had about 6 or 7 out there. Then they had some more in the back where you could see, and they all looked the same except for one. One had a very distinct face. Same concept, different face. Must have been a different manufacturer. I mean, I don't know if these were handmade or what. They obviously were handmade, but this one was a little different. And we both, once again, my wife and I, we just like the things that are not the ones that are always out there. We like the different ones. And so we both zeroed in on that different one and said, well, that's the one we were going to get. But we had a whole day ahead of us. We had just started out on our day. And I had my giant list. I had 5 or 6 more check marks to get on my list of seeing Budapest here. So I said, well, you know, why don't we know we want this. We'll come back and we'll get Incense Santa, as we had dubbed him. But we don't need to buy him now. We're walking and we want to carry this. It wasn't that heavy, but, you know, it's burdensome. You don't want to walk all the way around the city with this thing. Well, we're going to come back here tonight. So we'll get him tonight. And Jamie, my wife, says, and she knows me, because I am always, I've talked about this, I think, too, on the podcast. I'm one of these, when I do shop, I find something I like, and then I get, like, the last second, well, we don't need to buy it. And then I so many times, I know I want it. I know I want to buy that. For whatever reason, I don't. And then I'm killing myself that I didn't. I go back, and it's gone. That happens to me a lot, which is probably why I don't buy a lot of stuff, because I go through this weird little internal struggle. But then it's so frustrating, because many times it's the only one and it's gone. And in my mind, who else is going to want that one, right? So we say, okay, we'll come back. Even though my wife looked at me like, you sure you want to leave him? And I'm like, look, no one's going to buy him. How many people do you see buying? Do you see anybody buying these things? No one's even buying them. We were there for 10 or 15 minutes looking at that place. I didn't see one person buy anything. Not one incense little character. So in my mind, the odds were great that it wasn't going to happen. So sure enough, we go and walk around the city for most of the day, and we have lunch, and we come back at about 5:30, 6 o'clock, and they say, well, on our way back to the hotel, let's go and get Incense Santa. And gosh darn it, don't you know that the one we wanted was gone? Now, there were 7 of these. Why would somebody have bought the one that we wanted? But he was gone. And so, of course, Elton Jamie looks at me like, I told you, and I'm like, and I liked it, but the other ones were cool as well. So I wasn't, but I was disappointed. I'm like, I cannot believe that I did it again. Oh my God, you've done it again. But I did it again. We could have carried it around. It wasn't that heavy. I don't know what it is about me, but we did find a cool one. And so we did buy it. And now the first thing that I did when we got home, before we even unpacked or anything, was I set up our Incense Santa. And sure enough, he was blowing incense out of his mouth. It was the coolest thing. They even had the little incense, little cones that you could buy there as well. Now, of course, I am the Sultan of Scents. So I bought, one of my two favorite combinations of flavors are chocolate and peanut butter. Almost better than Abbott and Costello. And I love apple and cinnamon. Oh, God, do I love apple and cinnamon. And they had apple and cinnamon. And they also had, one of my favorite is vanilla. I love vanilla. Love vanilla ice cream. Love vanilla anything. Love white chocolate more than dark chocolate, because it has that vanilla taste. So initially we got the apple cinnamon and the vanilla incense. And little did I know that at least the cones that we bought here, I remember the sticks that my dad bought lasted a little longer. Now, I will admit, I am a newcomer. I am an incense infant here. I don't know anything about incense. So I thought they lasted a little longer, but these cones that we bought, they last maybe 5 minutes. And they have a nice little smell. And it's really cool to see the smoke coming out of Santa's mouth. So this is my new favorite Santa. I have two favorite Santas. The Hallmark Stuff Santa that I bought a few weeks before we left, who's probably displayed in the house now. And now Incense Santa. And I'm almost tempted to leave Incense Santa out all year just because he blows the incense out of his mouth. But I guess my big quiz question, and maybe if you go to the Facebook, my Facebook page, you can help me out. So where do I buy incense? Because I'm gonna run out of incense. So I guess I can go online, but you know, there's some things you like to buy and have like immediately. Everything we buy online now, you got to wait 3 days. It's also fun to buy something and you actually have it in your hand. So if anybody knows out there where I can buy incense, you know, in a variety of flavors, because you know, or scents, because if I'd like to buy some kind of a vessel, if we don't leave Incense Santa out all year, then we do need to maybe buy a vessel to burn the incense in. So if we do that, then I would like more flavors. If my wife is into smelling the incense in the house on a regular basis, then maybe, you know, so if anybody can help me on this, I really would appreciate it. Where do I buy incense? Where do I buy different flavor incense? And or what is your favorite incense scent or flavor that you can turn me on to, man? Since I'm into incense, I'm going to start talking like man. I do remember I have when I was a kid in the 70s, in the mid to late 70s, when, you know, the whole drug culture was, you know, was just beginning. Yeah, to some extent, there was a record store in my neighborhood that I used to go to almost every day because I love records. And now, in retrospect, I think back and I'm like, that place, there had to be more. They had to be selling a lot more things than records in that place. People were always in the back room. there was never anybody outside. You could walk away with the store half the time. But the one thing that was very distinct about that store was they were always burning incense, because you could see that the people in there were into, you know, hey, man, hey, dude, far out, man. That's what the kids say today, far out, yeah, far out. So that was really another introduction to incense. So but I should mention that. So between church, being an altar boy, my dad, and this record store called Sounds Good at Six Corners in Chicago, I guess that's where I got my first taste and sniff of incense. But what if you have any favorite you know, flavors or smells, whatever you call them, you know, please let me know. But where do I buy them? That's the key. Because I've got this very cool Incense Santa. And so at least from now until the end of Christmas, I want to be burning incense on a regular basis just because Incense Santa looks so cool. And I'm digging the smell. I'm digging the incense. I don't know. I might become a Buddhist. I don't know. But for right now, all I could say is the Sultan of Scent is into incense. So if you are into incense, I need your help. I've got apple, cinnamon, and vanilla, but I need more. Incense Santa needs to be smoking. And welcome back to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. And now we take a stroll over to the Pop Culture Club with Emily Arminetti. Hello, Emily.
Hey, Jim.
So, I woke up this morning. We always do tape these ahead of time. But this week, or last week, I should say, the Golden Globe nominations came out.
Nice little surprise for you on a Thursday morning.
Did you know they were coming out?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. So that was, because to be honest with you, I didn't know what we were going to talk about today.
Right.
And then this fell right into my lap.
It's like a gift from heavens.
The funny thing is we usually tape these the day before that we're taping this one, but we didn't. And so we wouldn't have had this.
Right.
So think about that.
I know. Sometimes it's good. Then sometimes to change it up a bit.
Yeah, all the stars align. Mm-hmm. So,
It was meant to be.
It was meant to be. So I took a look at these lists, at the list and the nominations, and once again, I've always We've talked about this before. I always have my problems with the Golden Globes because I really think that they are really not truly representative of what may have been the best. We have to always add the caveat that there's less than 100 foreign press reporters who vote on this.
Yeah.
So it's a small pool of people, and it's a very small pool of very specific people who, I think, have a bias toward big movie stars, like big Hollywood movie stars, big names. And also, obviously, since it's called the Hollywood Foreign Press, there's obviously a bias toward foreign films and foreign actors and actresses and directors and screenwriters and everything else. So, yes, this is the something of a precursor to the Oscars in that it is before the Oscars. But I still maintain many times when you compare the movies that were nominated for Golden Globes or even won Golden Globes, and when you look at those that were nominated or won Oscars about a month and a half later, very often they do not coincide. So, but it's award season. We love awards. We love red carpets. That is what drives the pop culture machine now. It drives the internet. It drives the Twitter. It drives the Facebook.
Yeah. Indeed. Yeah.
And so that's what we are left with. So,
So we are ready for that to now be this like never ending award season to officially kick off.
Right.
Now.
Yeah, so now it is official. January 6th is the Golden Globes on NBC. Andy Samberg and Sandra Oh are the hosts, and then I believe we'll probably have the SAG Awards coming on the heels of that, and then the Oscars are sometime in late February, and it was just announced that Kevin Hart will be hosting that, as opposed to ABC's Jimmy Kimmel, who's been hosting it for the last several years. So
you've been hoping for this for a while. So
well, I told you that Jimmy Kimmel had to end. I told you that
another gift to you.
Yes,
from pop culture
once again. Well, I don't know at this point. You know, who knows who listens to this podcast?
Right.
But all I know is a lot of things I talk about on this podcast that I have a problem with, they're always rectified.
Right.
So someone's listening.
Now, either my son James is way powerful than we know, of course, that he listens. We are safe in the knowledge that James listens to us.
Yes.
Yes. We have a listener.
But I don't think he has the power.
Either he's far more powerful than we thought, or...
Yeah, he's like Stewie on the Family Guy.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, for what they're worth, and as I said, for the most part, I think the Golden Globes are more of a red carpet event. They're more of a of an event for stars to get together and sit at the same tables and get drunk and just revel in their fabulousness more than they really are, I think, about the quality or the best of the year, because there are some nominees inevitably every year which don't belong and don't ever show up on any other lists except the Golden Globes. But that said, it is a pop culture mainstay now.
Yeah.
So, looking over the Golden Globe list, what jumped out at you? I mean, people can look the list up now. We don't have to go over all of the names and things. We can just talk about some of the the kind of categories that were surprising for who was or who was nominated. Anything initially jump right out at you?
Well, I think that the television categories seem to be full of snubs and surprises.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, definitely.
I mean, you have shows like one of the most popular shows on TV right now, This Is Us, which was majorly snubbed this year.
Did it win last year? It was certainly nominated.
Sterling K. Brown, I believe, won last year.
I mean,
I don't even think he was nominated this year. And This Is Us was not even nominated in the Best Drama Series category. So now that is huge. You know, there are a few others that you would have expected to see, you know, in that category. I mean, The Handmaid's Tale, which certainly has gotten a lot of, you know, in the
oh
last
my gosh,
that's
that yeah.
gotten a lot of, you know, first of all, critical acclaim. It's been very popular with audiences, and it's been on the awards circuit, you know, no stranger to the awards circuit. So they, you know, they did not have a great showing here. I think Elizabeth Moss was nominated, but I don't think that her, you know, her fellow actors or even the show were nominated.
I think, no, the show wasn't. Someone else from the show was nominated.
Oh, okay.
In a supporting role, but the show was not nominated, which is strange. I was happy to see that The Americans did get nominated.
Oh yeah. So I mean, once again, don't spoil the last season for me because I'm still
oh my god.
But I, for years, have been saying, I have been preaching The Americans and saying this show. I cannot believe. I mean, yes, it's gotten some awards recognition over the years, but not nearly what I think it deserved. And yeah, so like you said, they finally got the nomination for Best Drama. I mean, there are a few other shows that have been recognized in the past that haven't. Like, I think Atlanta was noticeably missing. House of Cards was shut out. It's its last final season. So.
Well, I'm not surprised not surprised House of Cards was shut out because I was really not happy with the show. I think that I give them credit for, but they were thrown under a lot of turmoil. I mean, the whole Kevin Spacey thing, you know, the whole season was already written and they were beginning to film and then they had to scrap the whole thing and start over again. Now, Robin Wright, I'm surprised, didn't get nominated because she really carried the entire season.
Mm-hmm. And even before, you know, even before this, everything sort of unraveled with the Kevin Spacey thing, she plays such a strong.
Oh, and she's, yes.
And she's been doing it brilliantly for years.
Yeah, and she's been nominated in the past. So it was really surprising that in a season where she was front and center, as opposed to playing opposite Kevin Spacey, that now that she, you know, literally was the lead actor in the show, that she wouldn't get nominated. So, you know, that was a surprise. I think in the movie category, a lot of people were expecting Ryan Gosling to be nominated for First Man, and he got snubbed. I think that. I had never seen this film, but I'm reading a lot of stories. There was a movie that Ethan Hawke was in called First Reformed, where he plays a priest, and I guess that was getting a lot of buzz, and that did not get nominated. But once again, the surprise, and it's almost becoming a cliche, but you know, it's like, can Amy Adams get nominated for any more awards?
I mean, pretty much, you know, that every so often there's someone in Hollywood that just everything they touch turns to gold.
I mean,
start to think like,
yeah,
did they have a deal with the devil or what?
I mean, she was nominated for this film called Vice, this is so interesting. Think about how weird it is because the 41st president, George Bush, passed away. And Dick Cheney, was his Secretary of Defense in the Bush administration. And then, of course, he was the vice president to George Bush 43. And so this movie, Vice, is about Dick Cheney. And no one is even thinking about Dick Cheney anymore. And then suddenly, last week, Dick Cheney was all over the television because he was being, you know, interviewed for memories.
Right.
And things about George Bush. And now a couple of days after the George Bush funeral, in fact, one day after the George Bush funeral, the Golden Globe leading nominee is a movie about Dick Cheney.
I know, right? Well, I haven't read that much about the movie, but one thing is clear, that Christian Bale completely transforms himself to play Dick Cheney.
Yeah, apparently he gained 40 pounds and they did a lot of makeup, but it doesn't even look, I don't even see Christian Bale there.
yeah,
in the makeup that I've seen. Yeah, this movie is called Vice, and it's about Dick Cheney and how he became vice president and the you know, the kind of the back behind the scenes intrigue, political intrigue, and it's written by Adam McKay, who you know, also did the film a few years ago about the stock market. What was that one called? Remember?
Oh,
and he's Will Ferrell's you know, comrade. I don't, but remember, there's a movie remember. About the stock market. I can't remember when the few years ago that got a lot of buzz.
Who was in it?
Adam McKay directed it and wrote it. Yeah,
Adam McKay. Yeah.
Are you near an internet machine?
Always.
What was that movie called?
Let's have a look. Let me see.
Adam McKay.
See, this is hard because there's more than one Adam McKay in Hollywood. So.
Oh, is there really?
I think there is. I feel like there's a and. Okay, let's see. The Big Short.
The Big Short.
The Big Short. Yeah. Yeah, The Big Short. Yeah. How could we forget? Yeah.
But, you know, like, once again, I'm looking at the best film drama category, and it is all over the board. And the one thing that I can't...
Well, this is an interesting one, though, because really, I mean, look at... So two of those, so let's just read off who's nominated there.
So it's Black Panther. Go ahead. You can, if you have it there.
No, you go, because okay. I'm just scrolling to get there.
Black Panther, Black Klansman. I don't know. I think every nominee in this category, the movie's first word is black. No, that's just a joke. But so we got Black Panther,
oh boy.
Black Klansman, If Beale Street Could Talk, Bohemian Rhapsody, and A Star Is Born. Now, okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, the first thing I was going to say is the interesting thing is now two of these films, Bohemian Rhapsody and A Star Is Born. I haven't seen Bohemian Rhapsody, but I presume it's dramatic. But equally, they also...
They're musicals!
Could have been in the musical or comedy category. Then you see the musical or comedy category, and there's the movie about Dick Cheney, Vice, which
right.
I don't know. Maybe it's really funny, who knows? But I can't really believe sure what's going on there.
Yeah, I can't believe that Vice... I mean, it may have comic elements, but it's not the Marx Brothers. It's not Dumb and Dumber.
Right, and if you've seen A Star Is Born, I mean, sure, there are a few times in the movie where you laugh as well.
But it's a musical!
Right, I know. But but as you know, a lot of times with the Golden Globes, the interesting thing about having these parallel categories is that there are times when a film clearly does not fit into a category.
But they wanted to put it in!
But they You know how these nominations work, you know, all of the studios they have PR machines that are, you know, churning these out. And so what they do is they package it under, I believe, whichever category they think they have the better chance of securing.
Yeah, and that happens in the Oscars as well. They have for your considerations. And many times they do look at the possible field and they say, well, wait a minute. You know, there's a strong leading actor, for instance, category this year. So even though this person had a pretty big role, let's put that person up for supporting actor because then they've got a better chance of being nominated. So that does happen. But yeah, this when I saw A Star Is Born and Bohemian Rhapsody, I mean, Bohemian Rhapsody by its title, which is a song title.
Right, exactly.
it has to be considered a musical. From what I've heard, I didn't see the film, but everybody talks about how the most energizing part of the whole movie is the final sequence where they play Wembley Stadium during Live Aid, and it's a musical performance. So, I mean, I don't understand that. I'm not surprised that Bohemian Rhapsody, I don't think it's going to get nominated for an Academy Award at all.
Well, that's the other interesting thing about seeing them show up in the nominations here, because you know that has not been very well received critically speaking.
Not at all. Now it's made a ton of money worldwide as well as domestically, but in terms of critical reviews, it was. Mm-hmm. I mean, the actor who's nominated for a Globe as well,
Rami Malek.
Yeah, he was talked about, but the film itself was not well reviewed at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, and then I'm not surprised. I mean, they got Mary Poppins returns everywhere.
Oh, yeah. You know. Well, hey, at least Mary Poppins ended up in the musical category. Yeah.
Well,
could you imagine?
Yeah. But, you know, once again, it stars Emily Blunt, and it's about
she is a big favorite.
Yeah.
She's, not necessarily to win this award, but she is, you know, she's kind of a darling. She's a media darling. She's a critical darling. You know, everybody likes her.
Now,
she hasn't quite reached Amy Adams status.
No, but
yet,
she's but getting
she's
there.
Probably
but Amy
on her way.
Yeah, yeah, Amy Adams is everywhere. And what's so funny is if you ever watch the reruns of The Office, you will see a young Amy Adams in an episode.
Oh, really?
Yes, one of the first episodes within the first, you know, season and a half, she plays a girl that comes in to sell shoes. And in the office, you know, to just, you know, she's like a sales girl, and she comes in, and Michael has a crush on her, and then she winds up going out with Jim Halpert for a while.
Huh, interesting.
And she's on for about two or three episodes. In fact, she is on the episode where, Pam and Roy decide to set a date.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah,
that's the Booze Cruise episode.
Amy Adams is on that one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think she's nominated for Sharp Objects. Is that right? Is that what she's nominated
well,
for?
She's nominated for Vice.
Oh, for Vice.
So I don't know if she's also for Sharp Objects, too, then.
I don't know if she is, because I have to keep scrolling. But I'll tell you this. Sharp Objects got a nomination for a limited series.
Right.
I'm a little surprised at that. Now, I do like her. I generally like her work. But I tried to watch Sharp Objects. I figured, oh, that's kind of right up my alley, you know, in a way, and based on everything I read about it. And the first episode was so slow that I just...
No, I did watch that. I did watch that. I watched
it. Watched the whole series?
Watched the whole series.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. However, it was very slow.
Yeah.
It was deliberately complex. And at the same time, within the second episode, I already solved it.
Oh, well, okay.
Yeah. But
and you're right. I'm not seeing her in the actress in a television series category.
No, she was for Vice.
She's just nominated for Vice.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, once again, I'm just kind of shocked at her name is always, you know, in I apologize for this thing. I'm on my computer here, and it's just every time a new news thing pops up, I'm getting this bad.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
This bad alert.
This bad. Ba-da-da-da-dum, ba-da-da-da-dum.
That's what the mute button is for.
Well, then
computer.
I mute you, and I mute everything, though.
Oh, I guess that's true. Yeah, you would mute me. So, well, that's not a bad thing either. You know, you can always.
You know what? Amy Adams, Amy Adams, Sharp Objects.
Oh, right. Well, that category is not
best performance by.
Is it a limited series? Ah, that's what it is. That's why I wasn't seeing
Amy
her.
Adams because I thought she was.
Well, okay, so once again, unbelievable. She's got to deal with the devil.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, she's a good actress. I mean, you know, she does well. But my goodness.
Right?
I mean, everywhere you go. Now, there are some things I don't even know what they are. Did you ever hear of The Tale?
No.
Okay, Laura Dern, who's another darling, was nominated for The Tale, a limited series. Have you ever heard of Dirty John?
Yes, I have. Now, I can't believe you haven't heard of Dirty John.
What is Dirty John?
First of all, I have heard of it because, as we discussed, I believe just last week or maybe the week before, that is a show on Bravo. So you know that I spent half my life,
right? No,
TV watching life.
So you do know
is dedicated
about that
to Bravo. But the interesting thing about Dirty John is that. It's a spinoff of a podcast that's very popular. And, you know, I like to listen to podcasts. I have not listened to all of Dirty John, but I'm probably about halfway through. But the podcast is based on a story that appeared in, might have even been the LA Times. But it's really interesting. The podcast, I haven't watched the show yet, but Connie Britton's in it. So I definitely am going to watch it.
Right.
It just started airing recently. So I'm surprised. I mean, there's a few things on here. I'm surprised they even got in under the wire, you know, because they just, like, that just started airing maybe within the last couple weeks.
Yeah.
You know, even Mary Poppins, I feel like, just came out. Like, is it even in the theaters yet?
I don't even know if it is. I think maybe it was released, you know, in overseas just so they can get it in here.
Yeah, but Dirty John, Dirty John is very popular. It's a very popular podcast, so I'm not surprised to see that already the show is, you know, getting buzz, being talked about.
Well, if you had to pick a winner for Best Motion Picture between Black Panther, Black Klansman, Bohemian Rhapsody, If Beale Street Could Talk, and Star Is Born, what would you say is going to win?
Well, this is really, I mean, as always, I mean, I've seen one out of the five of those films, so I have absolutely nothing to base this on. But
see, once again, the Golden Globes are not. You don't have to base it on seeing it because it's all politics.
I'm gonna say A Star Is Born because I believe that A Star Is Born is actually going to get a ton of recognition during the awards season. I think it's already built up a ton of momentum about, you know, whether or not it's going to get nominations, particularly Oscar nominations. I see Lady Gaga is going to emerge as, you know, just the it girl during this award season. And I just think it's going to, I don't think it's necessarily going to win all of the awards it's nominated for, but I do think the Hollywood Foreign Press is going to be on the A Star Is Born bandwagon.
Yeah, I think they're going to go, I think it's going to be, I think they're going to go for A Star Is Born in the drama. And even though it doesn't belong there, like we talked about, for the fact that Vice got all these nominations, and I haven't seen it, but given how much the political world, and especially, once again, remember who's voting, foreign press, how the foreign press all hates Trump, who then would have to, you know, be against, you know, Cheney just through dotted lines. So I would think that even though I haven't seen Vice, Christian Bale has rarely gives a bad performance. And so I would think that if they got this six nominations, I think Vice is probably going to win. Although in the musical category, although, you know, Crazy Rich Asians, no one expected that movie to do anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I've also heard really good things about The Favorite.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
then again, Mary
Poppins. How do you turn down Mary Poppins?
I know. You just know that's going
to
be.
Yeah, I mean, that has to be.
Unstoppable train.
I mean, we are talking, just so everybody knows, we are talking about this literally on the day that the nominations came out. So we are not benefiting from any post-nomination buzz or talk that will have happened, you know, over the next week or so, where you will start to hear a lot of buzz and a lot of talk. But I have to say that Mary Poppins is made for a foreign press kind of thing. It's a musical. It's a remake. It's got Emily Blunt. It's got, what's his name from Hamilton? Lin-Manuel.
Oh, yes, yes.
And he's nominated. So is she. The film is. It's, you know, it's Julie Andrews. It's animation. I even heard Dick Van Dyke has a cameo in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know if he plays his original character, Bert, but he does have a cameo. So I would have to think that from sentimental alone, Mary Poppins has a good chance. But the who knows? They may also want to be making a political statement and put Vice in there. The fact that the film hasn't even been released here in the United States yet, I don't think. And it's already dominating the the Golden Globes. Now, I had to laugh. There's always a monkey wrench. John C. Reilly for Stan and Ollie is nominated for Best Actor.
John C. Reilly. Well, I mean, he's a very likable guy.
Oh, I like, but I mean, Stan and Ollie. Nobody even know in this generation.
I don't even know what that is.
Well, it's about Laurel and Hardy.
Oh, wow.
Okay. That's what I mean. There's nobody even in this generation who knows who Laurel and Hardy is. And if you call them Stan and Ollie, they certainly won't know. Yeah. And yet he's nominated for Best Actor. And then Robert Redford has gotten a lot of good reviews for a film that sort of came and went called The Old Man and the Gun. And he could be a sentimental favorite because he's 82 or 83. He announced this is his last film. So who knows if...
Which I could would have sworn that didn't he announce like a year ago that he was officially retiring? So I'm even confused why he's.
Well, I think he said this was his last film. So.
Okay. Well, hey, then, okay, so we'll see. He's going to go out with a Golden Globe.
Yeah, so, you know, that once again, they love drama, and that would certainly be a great thing. I think the Spike Lee thing is a big surprise. Black Klansman, he's been nominated for director as well as the film. I've just been reading about a film called Roma, which is a foreign film, I believe, and... And that one's getting a lot of buzz, and that's been nominated, so you may hear about that as well. But I'm just looking through the list here, and like here, best TV series drama, Pose, Killing Eve, Homecoming, which is the Julia Roberts Amazon, Bodyguard.
Oh, and I have to, actually, yeah, I have to correct myself, because I believe when we talked about it last, I've said it was on Netflix, but yes, it's on Amazon.
Yeah. Bodyguard and The Americans. I mean, there is not one show in that list that the majority of people have ever seen.
Okay, but as you know, Homecoming's getting a lot of buzz.
I understand that, but my point is, of anybody who's ever seen it...
Killing Eve is supposed to be a really good show.
Right.
And for like,
but it's on BBC America, once again, foreign.
Right.
The Americans is about Russians.
I keep saying to myself, I've got to watch Killing Eve because I just keep hearing how good it is. Now, Pose, you know, is one of Ryan Murphy's.
Right, that was about drag queens, right? Wasn't it?
It is, yeah. And I mean, when you're looking at this category, okay, so other than, like, you can now you're seeing how, you know, This Is Us didn't get the nomination this time, Handmaid's Tale got snubbed, the couple of others that I mentioned because, you know, House of Cards, and there was one other one. Because look at this category. I mean, the only one that's really been around is The Americans.
And there is not one network show, not one American network show on that list. Not one.
The other thing about this that bugs me, although it's a different category, I suppose. But speaking of Ryan Murphy, I'm once again going to go on my little rant about how this is not so much a surprise as it is just yet another disappointment for me with the award season. Why does American Horror Story not get the recognition it deserves? Pose, which is one of his productions. Now, that's fairly new. This is obviously getting recognition. The Assassination of Gianni Versace is getting some love here. Darren Criss was nominated for a Golden Globe. The series was nominated in Best Limited Series. But once again, and I thought last season of American Horror Story, which I think was Cult, right?
Right.
Last year?
No,
Apocalypse. I thought that was one.
Would that be the Cult or the Apocalypse? Which one would be?
Which one would be? Oh, that's a good question. I guess maybe it's Apocalypse.
I guess
maybe
it would be Apocalypse. Yeah.
But even still, I continue to be disappointed by the lack of awards love.
Yeah, I think that show has lost its buzz.
Well, that may be, but I still believe that.
I watch it, but I think it's lost its kind of pop culture buzz, I think.
Okay, maybe. But I still believe that the performances on that show, by and large, are so strong. And in particular, I mean, Sarah Paulson always gets a lot of awards love, and that's great because she's phenomenal. But I say it time and time again, Evan Peters, I think he is amazing. Everyone he plays on that show, and this season, I think he played like at least to maybe three different characters.
And just to make a little sideline here, Evan Peters appears in an episode of The Office.
Does he really?
Yes.
Okay, so now you're making me think I need to start watching the U.S. Office. I only watch the British Office.
No, but he was only on one episode, but he played Michael Scott's nephew, who's like this total slacker guy that he brings into the office to work, and he gets fired because he's so incompetent. But this was probably, I would have to say, at least, 7 or 8 years ago? He was a young kid.
I mean, he was probably in his, I would guess, maybe early 20s around that point. But, Ryan Murphy's new one is getting, you know, obviously, you know, the Hollywood Foreign Press certainly.
Well, we
that.
Will see how Andy Samberg and Sandra Oh do, and we will certainly see how some of these shows that I think most people have not seen I think it's very clear to say that most of these shows, well, these movies, most people have not seen, and it won't matter because this is a television show more than an award show. This is a television show. Everybody wants to, it's the first award show of the year. It's right after the holidays. Everybody is still hibernating in the winter. We get to see Hollywood stars, red carpets, drunk Hollywood stars, and everybody loves to watch it. And I think the award is about the seventh thing that's important on the list of why you watch the Golden Globes. But I do agree with you. I think that Lady Gaga, and I, for me to say this because I've never really been a big fan of hers, but she has really impressed me over the last couple of years, both musically and as an actress. I was not that impressed with her on American Horror Story.
Well, and you know what? I just remembered this, if we're backtracking a little bit to her category, I just remembered this. She won the Golden Globe.
She won the Golden Globe for American Horror Story.
For that performance. Yeah. For her performance, in Hotel, American Horror Story Hotel. Right. And to be honest with you, that was not one of the stronger seasons.
No.
I mean, I liked it, but it's definitely not considered one of the stronger seasons. And she, I do love Lady Gaga, but she wasn't that good.
No, she, as I said, I was not impressed with that of her at all.
But she won the Golden Globe for that. So you know the Hollywood Foreign Press are fans.
Well, like I said.
That said, she is outstanding in A Star.
Oh, no. And she has emerged. There's no question.
She lives up to the hype completely, and that's great.
Well, now that we've seen the nominees, when you watch the show, keep this in mind, everyone, you will see big name people winning because the foreign press, the reporters for the foreign press, they go gaga over big Hollywood stars. Many times they are nominated for Golden Globes. They are not nominated for Cameo Awards because Hollywood Foreign Press is starstruck. And they also do tend to, which obviously makes sense, favor the foreign actors and foreign projects. So January 6th, NBC, everybody will be watching. And I would predict, and so do we agree on a Lady Gaga victory then?
I mean, yeah, I think we're totally aligned.
All right, well.
I mean, there's always time to check in.
Whoops.
I would put my stake in the ground right now for Lady Gaga and A Star Is Born.
Well, I'm gonna wear my poker face and agree with you. Thank you, Emily. We'll talk to you again.
All right. Thanks, Jim.
And that does conclude another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic here at WGNplus.com. Every Monday, new episode is posted there for your podcasting pleasure. And your loyalty and listening is always appreciated. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. This has been Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, from the end of the web to your screen.